about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shiphrah and Puah. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it is a girl, let her live. But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives. Why have you done this? He demanded. Why have you allowed the boys to live? The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, the midwives replied. They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time. So God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but you may let the girls live. Verses 15 through 22, Exodus chapter 1, then Exodus chapter 2. Picking up at verse 1. About this time, a man and woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. Soon Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. "Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" she asked. "Yes, do," the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. "Take this baby and nurse him for me," the princess told the baby's mother. "I will pay you for your help." So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, "I lifted him out of the water." Verses 1 through 10, Exodus chapter 2. Father, we thank you once again for the wonderful and the powerful and the grace-filled book that we refer to as the Bible, the written word of God. And thank you for the wisdom and the counsel that you give us. Lord, I thank you for how that in the pictures painted in just these short passages, we see how that you saw the actions of a wicked ruler in government who made a bad decision, a wicked decision, yet you used 5 precious women who had grace at work in their lives to help save a little boy by the name of Moses. And Lord, thank you for the fact that today you use men and women who love you, who serve you, and follow you to save babies today as well. And help us to know, Lord, that your Holy Spirit knows how to orchestrate and paint beautiful pictures and tell beautiful stories every day as we simply follow your Holy Spirit. More and more, move upon the church to be available vessels through which you can work to accomplish your will, to help save babies, to help babies grow up, to fulfill the God-ordained destinies that you created them for. And help us to know, Lord, that every day in the economy of time, every day makes a difference. Every day is important. And help us to maximize our time, our gifts, and our efforts as we serve you, as we stand for the kingdom, and as we stand for life. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer, Mark Ost. Mark is going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Dear Lord God, thank you so very, very much for your love for us. And thank you for allowing us to know you and to, in this context, to work for you, to serve you, Lord God. And also, as we look around the world today, we see so many signs of the times that your son, that Jesus may be coming back soon. God, we don't want to predict, but we want to be ready, and help us to do that, and help us tell others so that they may be ready as well for whenever that date may come, whether it's today, tomorrow, or 1,000 years from now. God, we want to be ready. We know that you are not willing that any should perish, but you do give people free will, and many will make the wrong choice and choose not to take your invitation, your gift of grace, but God, help us to give them that opportunity. God, I pray your blessing on our guest. I thank you for him today and on our recording today, and I pray that it would be a blessing for many. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark, and thank you again for being a part of our listening family. It's been a little bit, but we're honored to have with us once again as our phone guest, Jarell Godsey. He's the president of Heartbeat International. Jarell, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Pastor Joseph. Thank you for the opportunity to be with you.
Always an honor to have you to come on. And many of our listeners probably know some about Heartbeat, but then there are many who probably have never heard of Heartbeat as well. So I want to ask if you'll take a few moments to further introduce yourself, and then we'll get a chance, give you a chance to tell about Heartbeat. But as you introduce yourself, tell our listeners about your name and how you got your name, and we'll go from there.
It's always a fun thing. People encounter me that, you know, sometimes they I'm introduced at an event or something, and they see that my name has a hyphen and a two capitals, like, you know, because it's capital J-O-R hyphen capital E-L. And they ask me where that's from, and they make some assumptions, like maybe it's grandma and grandpa's name shoved together or something. Maybe it's Hebrew, and unfortunately, it doesn't have any of those connections. Although I am a son of the South, it doesn't have that dynamic. It actually comes from the Superman story. It's Superman's father's name, and it's been something that our family has really embraced over the years. So that's been kind of a fun thing for us. We, you know, I've heard every Superman joke in the book, I think, but I'm always open to the next one, right? So, and all of our kids have Superman names, which has been really fun as well.
Okay. Can you share some of the Superman names your children have?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. My oldest, his name is Jared, which actually is a Bible name. Mm-hmm. But his middle name is Kal-El, which is Superman's name on Krypton. And then my daughter is Kara, or Kara, which is Supergirl. And that's been a series that's been running on CW for a little while. And then my youngest is Joel, like the prophet, but his middle name is Kent. And the most fun thing for me of late is we had our very first grandchild. In fact, Joel and his wife Courtney had our very first grandchild back in February. And of course, the big question was any of my kids going to continue that? So he named her Aurora, or Rory as they call her, which is not a Superman connection, but then gave her the middle name Lane, as in Lois Lane. And so he did it in such a beautiful way, and it just made my heart smile. And of course, you know, she has a little Supergirl outfit that she's been able to wear. It's been really fun as a part of our family.
That's neat. Thanks for sharing that. That's a fun thought there. So, well, would you tell our listeners about Heartbeat? Again, many people have heard the name Heartbeat International, but then, of course, there's sometimes people we come across who know little or nothing about Heartbeat.
Well, thank you for that. The people who are working in pregnancy help, who are involved in a pregnancy center or maybe a maternity home, or have been involved in the kind of the practical and compassionate outreach to women facing unplanned pregnancies might know about Heartbeat International, but even some of them don't. But it's never a surprise when someone outside of our community doesn't know, because we really are a background player. We are kind of connective tissue amongst all all of the pregnancy help organizations. We network many of them. In fact, we have affiliates that are across the U.S. We're the largest pregnancy help affiliation organization in the U.S. and in the world. We have more than 2,000 pregnancy centers are affiliated with us. Almost 200 maternity homes are affiliated with in the U.S. alone. And so that makes us the largest really around the U.S. But then also we're in more than 100 countries around the globe. We have affiliation connections. And for us, if it looks like a challenge here in the U.S., it is that much more so for those folks that are doing practical pregnancy help, empowered by the Holy Spirit, but they do it within very economically challenging environments. You know, I think of our friends who are in Africa. Of course, you know, the African countries as a whole are often challenged by the economic environment. I think of centers that are operating. For instance, we have one center in all of Macedonia. We have, you know, that's not uncommon in many countries to have that one outreach that's able to help them, and they do many things. I'm about to go and to travel to Italy to celebrate with them 50 years of a network, and they have the largest network outside of the U.S. at like 360 pregnancy centers and 60 maternity homes. And so there are great successes, but every single time there's an established outreach is a success in and of itself, because it's an opportunity for alternatives to abortion to happen where it's most desperately needed.
Well, you know, I do know that, like, we've had the privilege of interviewing on a number of occasions over the years Sister Sandy Shoshani, who is in Israel, who does a great work. And, of course, they're connected. How are they connected with Heartbeat?
So they're one of our joint affiliation networks. You know, they have a great work. They have several locations across Israel, but they have a team that actually is very mobile. So they lean on their physical locations, but they're also able to travel and serve people apart from those locations. And what's amazing about Sandy and her team is, you know, there's an outreach that is not just to Israelis. It's outreach also to the Muslims, what she told me, which I found fascinating, was to the tourists. You know, of course, Israel, you know, in most years is a very has a very transient group, people that come and be there for a short amount of time. Maybe they spend weeks or a time, but there are those that are kind of moving through. They're not the residents, and they have a tremendous outreach to that, particularly because they're surrounded by countries for which life-affirming outreach is extremely limited. It's not that it's not happening. It's just not nearly as established as it is there for our friends at Be'er Haim, Sandy's group.
Well, again, do appreciate just the fact that you, as you mentioned, that Heartbeat is in over 100 different nations, and thank the Lord for the outreach that it is. I wanted to ask, too, in just a few, well, we're actually coming up on a break in a few moments then, but on the other side of the break, I'm going to ask if you'll pray for our listeners that they would have ears to hear whatever the Lord has for them to hear, in that, because amongst other things, sometimes there are listeners out there that very much need to get connected to maybe a local pregnancy clinic, to become a prayer warrior, maybe a financial giver, a volunteer. But then there's those out there that the Lord is calling them to start one. And, you know, I would mention that by the grace of the Lord, Heartbeat was a tremendous help to us as the Lord led us to start our mobile pregnancy ministry in the Mississippi Delta. And the grant program that you all provided was a great, great blessing to us in so many ways. So we really do appreciate that. So, but again, we will, on the other side of the break, if you'll pray for listeners to have ears to hear whatever the Lord may want to share with them, we'd appreciate that. And Father, I do thank you for Brother Jarrell. Thank you for the great work and ministry and mission of Heartbeat International. Father, bless Jarrell, the staff, and the ministry. Indeed, expand its territory. Cause your hand to be mighty upon it. Keep it from evil that it may not cause pain. Flood it with mercy, grace, and open doors as it continues to do the great work and mission it's carrying out. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest is Jarrell Godsey. He's the president of Heartbeat International. We'll be right back.
speak from heaven. We call it thunder. You are amazing. You smile from heaven. We call it rainbow. You are amazing. And you look from heaven. We call it sunshine. That's amazing. And you made me in your likeness. Super amazing.
Of Dunson Oyakhan with Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, our phone guest today is Jarrell Godsey. He's the president of Heartbeat International. And Jarrell, as we begin this segment, I'm going to ask if you'll pray for listeners that they would have ears to hear any and all the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast today.
Father, we do thank you that many lives have been rescued from the loss of abortion by simply others stepping out and asking, what can I do? And so, Father, I thank you for those that hear that have been walking in that on a daily basis. I thank you for those that are just hearing that now and also asking for what they can do, Lord, how they can speak life into situations. Lord, I thank you that you'll give them the ears to hear, the spiritual sensitivity to those that are facing unplanned pregnancies, and then just to know where to direct them and connect them, Lord. And perhaps they're feeling a call to do even more than that. Lord, I pray that you'll connect them to the right people in the right places for that right time, that you'll use them as missionaries, even to the mission field created by abortion. Father, we know that the need is vast, but we also know that the laborers are few, but that you're drawing and calling even more because the fields truly are white to harvest. So, Father, thank you for inspiring those that you are calling into this work, Lord, to help those find life, to value the life within them, and to champion life at every opportunity. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Would you take time, Jarrell, to explain to, I just alluded to it, but the startup grant that we received, as I mentioned, was a huge help to us in terms of getting started. The Lord called us to do it, and I know to begin with, it was a just seemed like a mind-boggling task to even start a pregnancy ministry, but the startup grant was a help in so many ways. So would you tell our listeners a little about what that's about?
Certainly. We work at Heartbeat to try to help, as well as help those that are existing, to grow and expand, to advance and strengthen their programs, their training, their learning. We also help help organizations get off the ground. We have some material that's able to do that. And over the years, so we've had some grant funding that's actually allowed us to come in and kind of catalyze. Now, not lift it from nothing, but catalyze something that's already in place and working. And that's, we call that our Life Launch Program, and we've been able to do that. We've had 37 organizations start over the last 4 years and grow into that role. And that's been an exciting thing to be a part of. We have a great team that even, if the grant is not something that's possible, we have a great team that's able to come in and help guide through steps, help orient them towards good grounding training from everything from board to program services. And that's our blessing to be able to accomplish.
Mm. Well, again, I would just say to persons out there that are they're in the process of starting one, connecting with Heartbeat is so helpful and such a blessing, because the reality is many times when God calls someone, they may or may not be someone who knows a whole lot about what they've been called to do. So,
true.
And I know for us, it's been a tremendous learning journey basically every day. So again, we're grateful very much to the Lord and Heartbeat for your generosity and all that you did for us. Jarrell, would you share with our listeners just your thoughts on this? Roe v. Wade was overturned in 2022 through the Dobbs decision. How would you say that has impacted the number of abortions in our nation since that happened?
So the number of abortions are actually increasing. Now this didn't start with the Dobbs decision, but it has been accelerated by the Dobbs decision, which overturned Roe. Mm-hmm. It actually began, and we see the numbers kind of after, by the way, almost 30 years, 28 years of decline from the height of the abortion numbers, which was in the U.S. was about 1.6 million abortions in 1990 and 91, both of those years had that level, and it had dropped to almost half. It was about 850,000, 880,000 abortions in 2016, and then in 2017 it began to level out. And we began to see it start to climb, and largely that's through the shifting in the abortion business model from abortion clinics and surgical abortions to chemical abortions. They began to make that change. And then when the Dobbs decision happened, of course, what preceded Dobbs was COVID, and that was that began to also accelerate their business model. The idea that they could ship abortion pills, they could mail them, was beginning to be a greater reality even during COVID, when things, of course, were very difficult to access. The abortion industry used that time to accelerate their efforts to change their business model. And that was something that was also powered by some of the COVID things that were happening, some of the decisions being made at the administration level about easing some of the what we would call common sense constraints on chemical abortion. Some of those were lessened. And all of that has kind of powered, even though there have been great moves by some states to outlaw abortion or to constrain abortion greatly, or an attempt to, there has been an increased number of abortions to now it's back up over a million in a very short order of time. So that's an extremely unfortunate, extremely difficult outcome. Even though Roe was overturned, many thought that overturning Roe would be the answer. It has not been that. In fact, it's greatly empowered some of the states of our union to accelerate their support for abortions. And consequently, the numbers have gone up.
Mm. You know, Jarrell, I think one issue that the church really need to look at is that, like, so oftentimes we look to government to solve the problem through legislation, and that's a tool out there, of course. But there's such a need for the church to get so much more involved, because it's God reaches through the church to change hearts, which is where the whole issue begins. And so would you take a moment to pray for pastoral leadership, for the church as a whole, that the church would get so much more involved with working with and helping to address this issue according to God's word?
Yeah, absolutely, because that's the most important tool, is the people of God. So, Father, we thank you for your people to hear your heart for life, Lord, to realize that we accept what your decision is, Lord. Every pregnancy has your fingerprint on it, Lord, both the image, your image on that little child, even at its earliest stages, your active work in deciding the who and the when and the where. And so, Lord, we pray, thank you for those that would stand up and say yes in faith to every life that you have allowed to come into existence. Father, I thank you for boldness. Pastors speak life and to proclaim life and to proclaim the joys of life in every scenario, and to stand against anything that would exalt itself over your image, Lord, especially the beautiful image that you place on every single child. Lord, we thank you that you will continue to empower us to stand against the enemy's onslaught, Lord, to try to steal, kill, and destroy your work in this earth. And so we thank you for that empowering reality, Lord, that you are with us and that we stand with you on this issue.
And Father, I too thank you and I praise you for the fact that there's so much that you can and do through faithful servants, individuals, but also the church collectively as well. And Father, more and more stir us to recognize that our job is to listen to you for your wisdom, your counsel, your strategy, and to carry that out boldly and faithfully. Help us to know, Lord, that there's a lot that any faithful individual can do. And Lord, I think of even just how that, as we look back at the instances, the stories found in Exodus 1 and 2, you used individuals to help save babies and help turn the whole course to where even the mighty Pharaoh had to change his whole strategy because of two faithful women who did what was right in the midst of a tough situation. Help us to know, Lord, that every individual who's willing to obey you makes a difference. Help us to never think there's nothing we can do. Through our prayers, through our actions of obedience, help us to be fully available to be used by you. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Jerrell, let me ask this question, too. Since the overturning of Roe v. Wade, how have you seen the pro-life community and the church community respond overall?
Well, that's been kind of a tale of two cities, you know, or two sides of the coin. We have seen an amazing opportunity for life states to be released by the overturning of Roe to actually act on their political convictions. And so we've seen, I think I just yesterday I was with a group of pro-life leaders. There are 12 states now that basically outlaw abortion, and there are another five or six that constrain it to the various early, you know, the ones with, say, the heartbeat bill, that they're able to constrain it to the very early parts of a pregnancy. So we celebrate that those have been happening. We're excited that states are asserting their value for life. I so remember talking to the governor of Florida a number of years ago, not the current governor, but a previous one, and he said something very powerful. He says, well, of course, Jerrell, that the state is very interested in the lives of its youngest citizens or youngest residents. And I'm like, wow, that's a powerful statement. And so many of the states with that value and conviction have enacted laws. Hallelujah. However, there's also been a number of states that have acted in the opposite way that we were just talking about empowering and even funding abortions. And so, of course, what you fund, you get more of, and what that's exactly what's happening. And sadly, this is what's created the environment, is that some of those efforts are able to overcome the laws in the life states because we don't have yet the ability to or the will to constrain abortions that are mailed in through the postal service or through delivery services. So until we can recognize that, we'll have our upside battle. But the good news is that committed pro-life politicians in particular, but also the practical help in the pro-life communities. There have been people changing and adjusting their tactics to really meet the moment. And that's where we've seen the rise of different types of pregnancy help. We've seen more virtual pregnancy help. We've seen the pregnancy centers, and particularly in the life states. Not that there aren't abortions happening, but they've been able to adjust to help women not even think that they need to then go somewhere else to pursue an abortion. And so that's been a powerful story about the rise of the pro-life. There's never been more pro-life activity happening in the U.S. than right now, and that's what needs to happen. There's also never been more opposition against the pro-life community, particularly the pregnancy help community in the U.S. than right now, and that's been an adventure as well.
Right. Would you share website information or contact information if persons are wanting to just to learn more about Heartbeat or get in touch?
Absolutely. Well, you can always find us at heartbeatinternational.org. That's where most people can learn about us as our kind of public facing document. I would also encourage that you can find out where the pregnancy help location nearest you is through optionline.org. And that's a locator. You just go in and put in a zip code or a city and state, and you'll see the 10 closest to that. And you might find someone near you.
We'll pick up right there on the other side. I will be right back. Brian and Katie Torwald with He is the Light. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Jarrell Godsey. He's the president of Heartbeat International. And Jarrell, if you'll pick up where you left off and maybe back up a couple sentences so that people can hear every word of what you shared about the information about getting more information from Heartbeat about some of those specifics.
Sure. You can find really the biggest breadth of information would be at heartbeatinternational.org. That's where the general public can find the most helpful kind of understanding of who Heartbeat is. But for much more specific information, I'm always encouraging folks to go to optionline.org. That's where you can just put in your zip code or your city or in state, and you can actually get a locator where you can see a map and the 10 closest pregnancy help locations near you. And we certainly encourage people to get connected locally, to stop in, say hello, affirm them, bless them. Maybe it's a place of an opportunity to even join their team and get involved locally. That's something that I encourage every opportunity I can.
Okay. Thank you then. Well, you know, we here at the American Family Association have had the privilege of beginning in some ways to help highlight the great work that you all are overseeing called Abortion Pill Reversal. Would you share with our listeners once again what that is and why that's such a critical tool in our culture today for the body of Christ?
Yeah, thank you for that, Pastor Joseph. That's been something that's God has raised up. There was an opportunity for a doctor to have someone present to him who was in the middle of their chemical abortion. Now, abortion pill is not one pill, but two. And there are many, many women who have taken that first pill and then immediately regret having done so. It's just a powerful testimony to the fact that sometimes we can be overwhelmed in by the things that are going on around us, and yet even in the moment, next moment, God can break through and really direct us a different way. And we are the ones that are able to help them. We have something called the Abortion Pill Rescue Network. It's a hotline, 24/7 hotline, that we have nurses that are able to connect individuals with medical professionals who are able to prescribe what we call the abortion pill reversal, but actually it's just progesterone. It's a high dose of progesterone, which is something that is naturally created by the woman. It's very commonly administered to, and it's been a powerful antidote in for those that have taken that first chemical abortion pill, mifepristone. It's been a powerful antidote, and we've seen as many as 2/3 of those that take that pill actually able to preserve that pregnancy, continue that pregnancy, and to see that life saved, even though they started that first pill. And so that's been a powerful tool. We've actually seen, we calculate as many as 7,000 lives have been saved because
Praise
of that,
God.
Because we've been able to step into their situations in that moment to help them.
Mm. You know, Jarrell, I think of this, that praise God for the fact that God raised up individuals who've had the wisdom and understanding to administer that. Yet, you know, I think of this, that, and thank the Lord for Heartbeat, who oversees it. Yet, one of the challenges in our culture is that it's not hard to run into people in the church who have never heard of abortion pill reversal still. So would you speak to that?
Yeah, and there's a reason for that. It's one is there's an active opposition to abortion pill reversal. Some of the big tech firms are keeping us from advertising. The good news is it's you can find us, but and often the women that do find us, they do so because they're desperate, and they'll find us. We are at abortionpillreversal.com. We have a 24/7 team that's able to help even just explore what that means and understand even the science behind it. But there's an active opposition. We've been censored by Google from advertising this. We of course have tried to contest that, but they've maintained that effort since 2021. We've not been able to advertise for abortion pill reversal, but more and more people, we have states that are challenging us. The state of California has sued Heartbeat International and one of our local centers for promoting abortion pill reversal. The state of New York has done that as well. And of course, we're willing to fight that battle. We want them to understand that all the science says this works. There have been no drawbacks from doing this that any study has really proven. We would advise, I mean, progesterone, again, it's something that's produced for them. So we're willing to have those battles with the states. We think that they're being motivated by their abortion kind of industry connections, that this is more of a political attack than it is an actual healthcare attack, because we're very much about these women, very much want to help them, but they're trying to silence us from promoting it, which is a very unfortunate thing. And those two states in particular happen to be among the abortion states who are working to fund abortions. So we feel this is far more political than practical, and we find it amazing. Like, why would you want to silence that from allowing women to have that choice to change their mind after that first pill of abortion? That's their decision, something they should be able to do, and we wish that everyone would recognize that. We would think that this should be available in every emergency room everywhere.
That's right.
Because it's become such a prevalent scenario.
Mm. You know, I'm just going to read the number here that's found on your website. It's 1-877-558-0333. And Jarrell, can you tell us, not say a young teenage girl finds herself pregnant, she took the first abortion pill, but then changes her mind and she calls the hotline. Can you tell us what happens after she calls the hotline?
Certainly, the first person people that she will speak to will really try to understand what Where's she at? How long ago? If there's time, this has to happen within 72 hours for the best effect. In fact, about 75% of the women reach us inside of the first 24 hours after they've taken that first pill. Mm-hmm. And that's where the greatest opportunity is. It depends on how far along the baby is, but we will then work with her, get some key information that the medical professional that's going to prescribe progesterone will need to help them understand. We want to understand that situation. We want to connect her with an ultrasound if that's possible. We want to just come around, and all of that is available, from our end at no cost. There may be some cost for the progesterone, but often insurance will cover that. We're able to help with that as well. So we want to connect them to that life-saving help as soon as possible. And so that they're going to be talking to some folks that are there to help them do just that.
Mm-hmm. And is it correct that basically they connect them to a doctor or a medical facility in their own community? Is that the way that works?
If it's possible. Now, we've had to lift the net. We have a network of about 1,500 different entities, people, pregnancy centers, medical doctors, medical practices all around the country. Mm-hmm. We wish it were so available that it would be in any emergency room, but it's not, thanks to the opposition. But it is available through those kind folks that are willing to take those calls and to prescribe that progesterone, and we're willing to walk it through. So yes, we'll get someone available as close as possible. Mm-hmm. That certainly is, that's licensed in that state, that's able to help them as quickly as we can.
Amen.
Time is of the essence in this conversation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Would you take time to pray for the Lord just to open more doors and more opportunities for people to learn more about abortion pill reversal and for it to have many more open doors as well?
Oh, absolutely. Something we pray for often. Father, we do thank you that the word continues to get out. Lord, just the fact that you have raised up this life-saving opportunity. We know people make decisions, often feel coerced or forced, but then there's often, as you are so gracious to us, Lord, there's often that redemptive moment. So, Father, we thank you that you raise up more and more redemptive moments where we have a chance to reverse or change the course that of something that we just chose. And Lord, I think of so many success stories, so many babies that were born, women who were able to reverse that decision that have been successful. But I also think of those that maybe it didn't work out, but that they had that in their heart, that they were able to try, and that's something that they could be comforted. Even though they felt pressured into that first moment, they were able to have a second moment where they championed the life of their child. So Lord, I pray for more people to understand that reality, for more people even who are feeling the pressure to take that first abortion pill, that would know that there's an opportunity to chance. I thank you for the states that have been courageous and requiring that to be done. And we pray, Lord, for the blindness to drop from the eyes of those that are trying to prevent this information from getting out, because this life-saving power is your Holy Spirit at work. And we thank you for raising it up in this day particularly.
And Father, I do thank you and I praise you for the church. Lord, more and more stir the church to get more involved in educating themselves about the issues surrounding these matters we've been talking about, and more churches and individuals just to learn about abortion pill reversal. And Lord, help us all to do our part in praying and believing you towards that end. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Jarell, our time is just about gone. Thank you again so much for coming on and sharing about the work of Heartbeat and sharing further about abortion pill reversal. And if you had to tell listeners how to pray for Heartbeat, how would you ask them to pray for the ministry of Heartbeat today?
Well, thank you for that. Pray for us to connect with more and more people who are facing that challenging decision, that feel like there's nowhere else to turn. Those are the folks that we want to talk to. We know that there's a good place for them. We know great people across the country and around the globe that can help them, and that's really what we're called to do, is to step into that situation with them. Just pray for those opportunities to multiply for His glory and for His goodness.
Amen. Amen. And one more time, would you share the website information for Heartbeat?
Yes, thank you. Heartbeatinternational.org to learn more about us as an organization, but more importantly, optionline.org to learn about our friends who are near wherever you are that they'll find, or wherever you might need, because sometimes we're talking to someone who's in three states away, and it's good to know that there's a list, that there's a place to find life-saving help right near them or you. Either way, optionline.org.
All right. Well, thank you, Jarell, again, for the great work that you and Heartbeat are doing, and keep up the great work. And we want to encourage every single listener to pray much for Jarell and his team there at Heartbeat, praying for the ministry, not only in the U.S., but all the other nations where they're working to do the great work that Heartbeat does. Father, thank you again for Jarell and his whole team there at Heartbeat International. Father, anoint the ministry with a fresh anointing, empower it more and more to become much more productive in every way. Expand its territory for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step and commit your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to begin to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey you daily. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we are wanting to connect with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please do get in touch with us again, that email, joseph@afr.net. And once again, please do pray much for the work of Heartbeat International as they do the great work they do of supporting and working with pregnancy ministries, and also for the ongoing work of the Abortion Pill Reversal Hotline. Again, there's lots of spiritual warfare around this issue, so they very much need your prayers. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.